When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, I'm moving on out of Florida, headed for Arizona, where we'll stay. Moving on out of Florida, to a place where it's okay to say gay. AZ didn't vote for the fascists, like Florida certainly did. I know things there won't be perfect, and I'm really gonna miss my kid. While we're driving cross country, there still are shows to be done. So I'm pulling interviews you may not have heard, and I hope you listen to everyone while we're moving on out of Florida. To Arizona, where it's hot as hell. I'll take the sauna over the steam bath to escape that Ron DeSantis fascist smell. I'm Nicole Sandler, and we are midway through the third week of these special shows I put together to fill the airtime while I'm moving. And right about now, I could use some good music and a few laughs. So I'm thrilled to share with you one of the biggest highlights of my radio career. In February of 2000, Steely Dan released their 8th studio album. It was called Two Against Nature. It was their first album in 20 years, and it went on to win the Grammy for Album of the Year. I was brought in to host the world premiere radio broadcast of the new album, which included a sit-down interview with Donald Fagen and Walter Becker. So here it is, as it ran on radio stations around the country 23 years ago.
Okay, I'm so confused by this.
You read number one, yeah. I read number two, you read number three,
class.
And I read number four. And what about
mine are circled, I understand now.
Yeah, see?
So should we start?
Yeah.
This is Donald Fagen.
And this is Walter Becker of Steely Dan.
Welcome to the world premiere broadcast of Two Against Nature.
On the SFX radio...
Now we have to start from the beginning again.
Well, unless, you know, unless we want to put
ready?
Them. Yeah.
This is Donald Fagen.
And this is Walter Becker of Steely Dan.
Welcome to the world premiere broadcast of Two Against Nature.
On the SFX Radio Network.
Known for their meticulous production, cryptic lyrics laced with satire, jazz-influenced instrumentation, reluctance to tour, and a name lifted from a dildo in William Burroughs' Naked Lunch, Steely Dan has bridged a 20-year gap between records to bring us Two Against Nature without skipping a beat. But then, we expect nothing less from Donald Fagen and Walter Becker. At the height of their popularity in the early 70s, Steely Dan stopped touring, and the band, which started out on the road, became a studio project. They went against the formula in making their records, using new techniques and expensive studio time and musicians to create their unique sound, and their albums continued selling. In 1993, after almost 20 years since their last concert, Becker and Fagen set out with an 11-piece version of Steely Dan and found that time had changed the face of touring. Steely Dan was back. The only thing missing was new music to play. For 2 years, a new album has been in the making. And tonight, we're at River Sound Studios in New York, where Donald Fagen and Walter Becker and the musicians they've assembled for this incarnation of Steely Dan recorded Two Against Nature. I'm Nicole Sandler, thrilled to be able to spend the next 90 minutes with Walter and Donald for the world premiere of Two Against Nature, coming right up on the SFX Radio Network.
Two Against Nature, love this game.
Are we ready? Are we rolling?
Yeah.
All right. I'm Nicole Sandler. Welcome to the world premiere of Steely Dan's Two Against Nature. We're at Riversound Studios in Manhattan, where much of the album was recorded, and I'm thrilled to be sitting across from Donald Fagen and Walter Becker.
Well, thank you. Welcome to Riversound.
The thrill is all ours.
So is this home away from home right now?
It's our actual home.
This is home, yeah.
Really.
Okay.
Just about. We live a few blocks away from here.
Uh-huh.
This couch folds out.
I see. And it's big enough for both of you?
Well, we take turns, you know.
Okay. One is mixing while the other one sleeps?
That's it.
Okay. I have an odd question to start out with, but in looking at the timeline of Steely Dan and the way you've done things over the years, I'm wondering if it's coincidence, okay? It was about 20 years between tours. Like, you stopped touring in 73 and then toured again in 93, and now it's about 20 years between albums. And if you take it a little further, I know, Walter, your birthday was just on February 20th.
Mm-hmm.
I want to guess that you guys met around the age of 20 at Bard College. Is there something there?
Were you born in Los Angeles?
No, I was born in New York.
Because I'm wondering, you know, usually we don't get this kind of Nostradamus-like symmetry questions, but you may have a point, you know, because we don't know, you know, what happens on these other levels, you know, of interaction, you know.
That's right. If you were fishing about for some sort of occult explanation, we wouldn't have it. You know, maybe we're just like, you know, baldness or something. We like to skip a generation every once in a while.
Why a new Steely Dan record now?
You know, you're right.
In fact, we should just recall them immediately, because
I
can't think of a good reason.
Yeah, really. You know,
the
more times I've asked that question, the less certain I am that there's any decent answer for it. But
we were touring in the 90s, 93, 94, and 96, and some other years, and we were getting a little tired of playing the old tunes, although they hadn't been played, most of them, in the 70s, since we didn't tour for most of the 70s. We still felt we need some new songs to kind of juice up the band and, you know, make it more fun for us. And since we're going out this year, this summer, we'll finally have some new songs to play, and in this way, hopefully some people will be familiar with them as well, because you can't really do that much new material that you're springing on an audience without them being familiar with it, you know.
So we'll talk about the touring plans in a little while. So you started this process on this new album a couple of years ago. Did you know then that it would take 2 years to record?
On the one hand, we hadn't planned that it would take that long. On the other hand, it had occurred to us that, you know, sometimes things take a little longer than you might hope. And so we weren't all that surprised when the time frame got a little stretched out there.
I think I sort of figured out everything takes at least 6 times longer than you think it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that?
Well, that's like the 20-year thing, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, it's going back to that strange symmetry, you know?
Some weird law of nature.
It's a fearful symmetry.
That's right.
All right, well, we're here for the world premiere of Two Against Nature. The first song that most of the people listening have heard is the first single called Cousin Dupree. And when I first heard it, I thought, at least lyrically, this is quintessential Steely Dan. It's it's kind of your basic incest song, though. Who came up with that concept?
Well, I don't know if incest is basic Steely Dan, but certainly the fact that it's a dirty song.
Right. I don't know that you've touched on incest before, but...
You
mean our work or personally or...
Work-wise, I don't know about your personal
life. Here's what happened. A few years ago, we were toying with the idea of doing, for reasons too perverse to describe now, we were toying with the idea of doing an all-country album.
Really?
And which, you know, we may yet do.
And there would be incest in
and that. And we were sort of thinking of what, you know, takeoffs on prototypical country song themes, you know, or you know, folklore of rural America, you know.
Taking the typical themes and then maybe exaggerating
rural legends, you know. And that was one of the things we tried to do. And this
so
was,
cousins come into...
Yeah, well, as you know, this is sort of a running gag for the last 150 years or so in America, you know, that in certain small towns everybody is related and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we were just sort of riffing on that.
So you weren't basing this on any particular sleazeball in one of your families?
No.
Okay. Well, Cousin
Although
Dupree...
we certainly could have.
If I think hard enough.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's a Cousin Dupree in every
family.
Sure,
well, a cousin or an uncle or a great aunt or
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
cousin Janine walk in. Well, all I could say was how cute. Honey, how you've grown like a rose. Well, we used to play when we were three. How about a kiss for your cousin Dupree? How about a kiss for your cousin Dupree? She turned my life into a living hell. The little dots and tight Duprees. I pretended to be reading the National Probe as I was watching her wax her skis. On Saturday night she walked in with a date and backed him up against the wall. I tumbled off the couch and heard myself sing in a voice I never knew I had before. Oh, honey, how you've grown like a rose. Well, we used to play when we were three. How about a kiss for your cousin Dupree? How about a kiss for your cousin Dupree? I teach you everything I know. If you teach me how to do that thing. Short and quid pro quo. And what's so strange about a down home family romance?
That's Cousin Dupree from Steely Dan's new album, Two Against Nature, which is in stores on Tuesday, February 29th. Now, that's Leap Day.
Barring extraordinary hazard, as like, we always like to say. Well, in case, you know, for some reason the leap year is suspended this year or something like that.
Now, did you, when you knew that the timing was about right, did you decide, hey, Leap Day, let's put out our album on Leap Day?
No, somebody at Warner's did that,
oh.
We believe.
Another case of, you know, unexplained perversity.
There you go. There's a lot of it happening. Well, speaking about perversity, so far the early reviews are very good.
Mm-hmm.
The critics are liking it. Steely Dan is back.
The tide may yet turn, of course.
Yeah, because, you know, there's always a backlash.
That's true, mm-hmm. and it is still early.
We tend to always do well with early adopters, and it's, you know, the more the sort of stick in the mud kind of guy, you know, that that has trouble with what we're working on.
Do you pay much attention to that? Do you care?
No, not too much. But we, you
sometimes
know, we
have a laugh about it or something, you know, because the funny thing is usually people who really like it often like it for completely wrong reasons anyway. So, in other words, it's often, you know, there's a sort of meaninglessness to it all, you know, in a certain way.
What would be the right reasons?
I'm not sure what the right reasons would be myself, nor would I, if I knew, I wouldn't be inclined to tell you, actually, but, because I'm not a critic, you know.
Yeah,
I get to play music, you know.
And that's a good thing. We're
glad.
But
we're very critical of many, many things. Don't get us wrong.
Right. Uh-huh. We talk a lot of trash in private, you know, but we just don't publish it.
But actually, you do. And we'll get to that because we're going to talk about the webpage coming up.
Sounds like a potent threat. Okay.
We are with Donald Fagen and Walter Becker. Steely Dan, it's the world premiere of Two Against Nature. Stick around. There's more music and more conversation coming up on the SFX Radio Network. So far, so good?
So far, so good.
All right. Welcome back to the world premiere broadcast of Two Against Nature. I'm Nicole Sandler with Walter Becker and Donald Fagen of Steely Dan. The next song we're going to listen to is called Jack of Speed. Now, some of your songs are lyrically somewhat fairly straightforward, and others are more cryptic. I put this song in the more cryptic category because I'm not sure what it's about.
Well, I think that's a fair enough category to put it in.
You know, it's not really that cryptic, but you know, I'm often wrong about that.
It's,
you know,
less literal, perhaps, and less, you know, this, it's sort of...
It's basically about...
essentially allegorical, kind of.
In our mind, it was about a guy who's in a lot of trouble. He's manic. For what reason he's manic, that's sort of, you know, up in the air, but he's definitely, you know, he's meddling in matters he shouldn't be meddling in, and it's basically a warning from a friend of the family. For, of course, this friend of the family may have ulterior motives, you know.
I certainly hope so. I mean, otherwise, you know, what's the point?
I know.
Speed up.
Jack of Speed from Steely Dan's Two Against Nature. It's the world premiere broadcast, and I must say, Walter, very nice guitar work.
Oh, thank you very much.
You play a lot more guitar on this album than on previous records. You're more out front.
Well, you know, we got tired of the having all these, you know, you go on stage and you've got to, here's the tune, and you've got to play this incredible guitar solo, you know? And nobody can play any of the guitar solos from our old record, so we figured if I did them all, then we'd all, you know, we'd be able to handle them.
So you couldn't play the stuff that maybe Skunk did, or...?
Certainly not.
No?
That's why we always have two guitar players, though, mm-hmm. You know? Because we always, our concept is you need a stone blues player.
Mm-hmm. That would be me.
That would be Walter. And then you need a guy with, like, unbelievable chops to be able to negotiate some of the changes that we write into the tunes.
Well, your playing on this record is great.
And thank you.
And it sticks out, and you know, I mean, it's got your sound.
So. Yeah, it does sound like me, for better or worse. You know, Donald and I, in discussing this record as we were making it, we reconceptualized Steely Dan as just a blues band, you know, sort of a fancy blues band. And so, you know, once we had decided that, that sort of gave me the inside line on the guitar solos.
Move on, because I do want to ask you about this subject, and I'm just going to come out with it and ask about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's been a lot written, a lot by you guys, and you know, let's see, you want to be in it, you don't want to be in it. It should be the two of you, it should be the whole Steely Dan universe. Tell us where you stand today on the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, I mean, we, as you correctly mentioned, we've sort of been all over the lot over the last few years on this, and it's just a funny idea, you know, that they have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, that it's in Cleveland, you know, that some people are in and some people are out, mm-hmm. You know, and they're inducted at this time or the other. And, you know, the minute we heard about the thing, we knew that this was going to be, you know, keep us in yucks for a while. So we're probably not finished yet.
Yeah, you know, I think it's good that they have I think they've done a lot of good as far as, especially towards bringing some integrity, especially to some of the older rhythm and blues mm-hmm. people and all that, but there's also something very silly about it, you know, and especially since it started to be televised a few years ago. You know, mm-hmm. I used to go to some of the ceremonies, and when they first started, and they were a lot of fun, and because, you know, the people in the, quote, rock community, like, are interesting people, and anything could happen there, and a lot of strange stuff happened at these award nights. But as soon as they started videotaping them for TV, it seemed to become just another one of these Grammy-type ceremonies or one of these television events, and a lot of the fun went out of it. And I think a lot of the sort of motivation for us, like having a little fun with the Hall of Fame, is really in a way provoked by their sort of making it into something that it didn't start out to be, really.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, originally, the way it started out is Donald and I, between the two of us, we have a whole bunch of these old digital tape recorders
right. That
we bought back in the 80s that are dinosaurs now. They're pretty useless, and they're cluttering up his studio here in New York and mine in Hawaii. In other words, it's a storage problem. And we hit upon the idea of donating all these machines to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in exchange for, you know, whatever sort of consideration we could obtain. And
a nice tax write-off.
Yeah. And and then at some point someone added the idea of, well, let's throw in a case of honey mustard, you mm-hmm. know. And it just went downhill from there, really. So,
and all this is available on the website, which we'll talk about in a little while. But
yes, it is.
Now, here's an interesting item. I don't think it's on the website. Is that at one point, you know, my parents live in Cleveland, and my niece Emily practices piano on the same piano I learned on. It's very cheap Aquasonic Spin It, and you know, they were going to get a new piano, so they said, "Well, what do you want us to do with your old piano?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to ship it back here. I tell you what. Let me call the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and see if they want it." And they said they didn't have room for it, so I had to ship it back to New York. Well, imagine.
Didn't put that on the website because we thought the outrage, the sheer sense of outrage would sort of,
right.
You know.
We didn't want to do that to the Hall of Fame then.
See, but one would think that if there is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a piano that Donald Fagen learned to play it should be there.
Well, I don't know. It's you know, it's very narcissistic of me on one hand to think that they'd want the piano, but on the other hand, it was really a drag for me to have to pay to ship it back to New York.
Yeah, if they forget about the piano, what about the 3M digital machines?
Exactly.
What about the honey mustard?
I know. I mean, we've made all these offers. I mean, we've really been the nice guys in this situation, and I think this goes back a long way, actually, you know, if someone really wanted to beat the bushes, you'd find some, you know, things that go way back. It's a complex history between us and the Hall of Fame.
Well, maybe someone in Cleveland is listening and they'll take notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have sort of mixed feelings about that.
Yeah, me too,
okay.
You know.
We're with Donald Fagen and Walter Becker. We're going to listen to another song from the brand new album, Two Against Nature. This one's called Janie Runaway.
Did I mention the Swedish ginger cookies?
No.
I just realized that's the last thing we offered them.
It must have been my lucky Thursday. Your dad went on that spree. Before the crew put out the fires, you hopped the bus for NYC. Down in Tampa, the future looked desperate and dark. Now you're the one new wave of Gramercy Park. Who makes the morning fabulous? Who says today's a fun day? Why do I feel like sailing again? Honey, it's you, Janie, runaway. Let's grab some takeout from Dean and DeLuca. A high gulping wine. You be the sugar, I'll be Sinatra. Way back in 59, sweetness and here. Look at you in long black gloves. Come to open eyes, tell me who you love. Who makes the traffic interesting? Rescues a dreary Sunday. Who makes me feel like dating again?
Against Nature is the brand new album. We just heard a song called Janie Runaway. Now, is that social commentary on street kids or lecherous old men?
It's just celebration of life, really.
Ah. Yeah, we don't write social commentary.
We have nothing to add to the, you
There's plenty of that already. You know, we figure we're just, you know, do something else, really.
More with Donald Fagen and Walter Becker coming up on the SFX Radio Network.
Hi, this is Walter Becker.
And this is Donald Fagen, you know,
Steely Dan.
And you're listening to the world premiere broadcast of Two Against Nature.
We're back. It's Steely Dan's world premiere of Two Against Nature, out this Tuesday, February 29th, Leap Day. Now, in addition to your new album, there's another Steely Dan project in the works, sort of. I'm not sure what your involvement with it is. It's the soundtrack to Me, Myself, and Irene, a new Farrelly Brothers film, that with bands covering Steely Dan songs.
Yeah, the Farrelly Brothers are apparently Steely Dan fans from way back, and they called us up and wanted to know if we'd be willing to have a group of our old songs covered by various bands to use as part of a soundtrack for this film. And it seemed like an interesting idea, so we're interested to see what they're going to do with it.
Do you have any involvement in the bands or what songs they're going to do?
No, not really. They've sent us some.
We offered to consult.
Yeah,
but so far we haven't really gotten any major phone calls, you know, about it.
I think they ended up paying us not to consult in the end.
I think maybe there was something to that. I think you're probably right.
They realized they'd be better, better off without just sort of our blessing, but not our actual help.
I don't know why, because we had a lot of really great ideas,
like.
That's where the compensation comes in,
Uh-huh. Oh,
I can't just give out the ideas.
I understand.
And what would I have left,
Really, that's right.
We'd be like,
about our relationship with the Farrelly Brothers? We'd be violating a confidence.
I know, true.
And what is your relationship with them?
Well, we've talked to them on a phone a few times,
Did you see something about Mary?
I've seen something about
Mary. Sure, I saw part
Mary.
Of it.
Uh-huh. Donald's seen certain parts of it.
Do you get their sense of humor? Because I hear you guys can be kind of funny. You got a sense of humor.
I know you've seen no instance of that tonight.
No, not at all.
we get it.
Yeah, there's some funny jokes. Funny jokes in there.
That thing with the dog. We all liked, everyone liked that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A little derivative, but, they're getting better.
There's a song on the new album that reminds me of one of your older songs, My Old School. And when I heard What a Shame About Me, I kind of thought that, in some ways, that's the continuation, or it's another way of looking back and reminiscing.
Well, that's interesting,
there's even a reference.
A lyric reference in there that sort of supports that idea.
So we'd have to go along with that.
All right.
Yeah, we're sort of down by law with that, I guess, since we sort of
put that in there.
Yeah, put that in there.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we listen to it? What a Shame About Me from the new Steely Dan album, Two Against Nature.
Okay, did I mention the Swedish ginger cookies, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. Shame about me.
and you're standing very close. But like this is Lower Broadway, and you're talking to a ghost. Take a good look, it's easy to see. What a shame about me. What a shame about me.
Shame.
What a Shame About Me, brand new music from Steely Dan from Two Against Nature. We'll be back with more Donald Fagen and Walter Becker on the SFX Radio Network. Welcome back. We're with Walter Becker, Donald Fagen, Steely Dan for the world premiere broadcast of Two Against Nature. Many Steely Dan fans have probably visited your website, SteelyDan.com, but if they haven't, I highly recommend it. Many, many hours of entertainment there. I'd say Steely Dan is Y2K compliant. You guys have really gotten in there and taken advantage of this new medium.
Well, when we first started doing it, we immediately realized that this was sort of the perfect place to publish in a funny sort of way, sort of running gags that we've had going, you know, when we're working or when we're hanging out or something. For years, and so we just sort of type them up and sling them up there, and it got to be a pretty, you know, a productive process for us, if you can consider, you know, the kind of thing that we're putting up there as, you know, a worthwhile product.
I mean, we you know, I think we started with liner notes, which we've written for albums, and because of the hype that you're subjected to in the music business, we figured we'd, you know, just... We started out sort of hyping ourselves in a way with a little humor, and I think the website gives us another you know, outlet for that, and it's a good place to dump stuff that's not really a song or something that we're maybe all that serious about, but it's fun for us to do. It's like when we're writing songs, you know, we'll take a break and, like, you know, write a poison pen letter to somebody or something, and, you know, and then throw it on the website, you know.
Or make a promotional offer to Dean and DeLuca.
That's right,
or
limited time only. You know, one of the things that happens when you are successful to some noticeable extent as an artist is that, you know, things tend to turn into big productions. You know, you're not just writing a song for the sake of writing a song. You're writing a song as part of an album, and then you're going to do the album, and it's going to take a big, long time, and then you're not going to go just play in a club. You're going to go and do a huge tour, you know, across three continents and so on. And that can be a problem in that you don't sort of have the avenues to do things just sort of quickly in a lighthearted way, or, you know, in the way that, in a playful way. And the website's sort of good for us for that. You know,
and also I think it feeds back into the songs in a way too, because whether we try to pay attention to it or not, there is a certain amount of pressure. You know, we're putting out an album after 20 years, and it's true that we've never really written for audience. Really, we write to amuse ourselves. Really, it is difficult. You know, knowing that well. You know, what if one of these songs isn't of incredible quality that people expect? You know, and I think by the writing stuff for the website, we can get back in the mood of just kind of, you know, having fun with it, and it makes the songwriting process maybe less serious and less dire. You know, because you know, you tend to fall into bad habits when there's expectations.
The album is called Two Against Nature, and that is the title track. Why is that the title track?
Well, let's see. Two Against Nature. I guess the two is is Walter and myself, and nature. I think we're mostly talking about human nature, although a lot of especially I notice Europeans think we're like anti-environment or something like that. But nature is really it has to do with art versus nature. It has to do with overcoming obstacles that nature supplies, like getting older and dumber and maybe not having as many ideas as you did when you were, 19. And
well, we still have lots of ideas. They're just not as, they're just maybe we can't have the same good ideas again that we had when we were 19.
Right, because,
that's the problem.
It's like...
how many good ideas are you going to
have? Well, it's been said that some artists basically have only one good idea, and they just kind of, have variations on it.
Well, so what was our good idea? That's...
whatever it is, we're still dining out on it, and it's on Two Against Nature.
I actually hear a bit of supernatural in there. There's
the... Right, that's right. Well, then that was sort of part of the...
part of the conceit.
Part of the conceit was that, you know, the nature we were talking about was, you know, fraught with, you know, supernatural demons and, you know, mischief makers. And
the demons being, you know, metaphors for all the obstacles that are placed in your path. And we also, the song, we're also advertising to help other people with their demons as well, especially our fans. I like to think, you know, it's like...
sort of a love letter from us to our
fans. Yeah, it's like almost like we wish we, you know, if we had an 800 number or something and they could call us and we'd like be in their living room, you know, 24/7, you know.
Or a 900 number.
Yeah. That way you'd make a few dollars off.
Right.
Yeah.
Two Against Nature, the title track from the brand new Steely Dan album, in stores Tuesday. Coming up, we're going to hear some live music from Steely Dan on the SFX radio network.
Live music. Live music. Oh,
that's right.
Okay.
I remember,
yeah, they told us about
you,
that.
You know you were going to play?
No, but you know, we've
yeah,
been...
I was just looking around for you.
800 different promotional schemes have been launched, you know, concerning us in the last 7 days, and we've lost track of a few of them in the, you know, in the process.
Like yesterday, yesterday I had to sign a Stratocaster, and I don't even play the guitar.
Well, whose name did you sign, then?
I signed your name.
Cool.
They're going to have you sign a keyboard soon.
I'm perfectly willing to do it, but I'll have to sign it with just, you know, two fingers or something, you know. That's how I play it.
Welcome back to the world premiere broadcast of Steely Dan's Two Against Nature. A few weeks ago, Steely Dan taped a show for PBS's In the Spotlight series that'll air March 1st. Have you guys done a lot of TV? Because you kind of missed the video age, sort of. The MTV thing happened.
Well, we tried to wait it out, and unfortunately, you know, it's not
it's
quite
still
over
going
yet.
On. Uh-huh. We're still waiting, but we couldn't wait quite long enough, apparently. So
yeah, really, we had to get back in there, and it's still in its last throes.
So you've been mixing the performance, and how's that coming along?
Good.
Yeah, we're afraid to look at the video portion of it. We only have to deal, luckily, with the audio portion. We've seen little pieces, I guess, of the video, and, you know, it's like, it puts you on overload, you know, you just...
Our plan is to swap in for the video portion of the program at the last possible minute, swap in an experimental movie from the late 60s, you know, something that's mostly just flickering light or, you know, animation, color, you know, strips of color drawn directly
on the film.
Yeah, like
one of those Czechoslovakian films.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
And you know, so you'll have, not only will you have the good Steely Dan music, but you'll have, you know, some really stimulating, thought-provoking
visual images.
All right. Well, luckily this is radio, so we'll just keep that in mind as we listen to a few of the songs from Steely Dan's PBS performance.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Black Friday.
Some live music from Steely Dan from the upcoming PBS In the Spotlight series that'll air on March 1st. Check your local listings for broadcast times, as they say. Now, you guys are set for a U.S. amphitheater arena tour beginning in May.
That's right.
Then on to Europe and Japan in the fall. Steely Dan in 73 called touring quits, and it took about 20 years, and you came back on the road. Why the change?
Well, that's the 20-year thing again,
there you go.
That you were talking about before.
It was actually 74, so that would make it a...
19 years.
Mm-hmm.
Blows my whole theory.
Kind of like that Hey 19 thing, huh?
Yeah.
You know, as it happens, between the years of 1974 and 1993, incredible advances had been made in the field of technology of touring rock and roll bands. And not only that, some pretty substantial economic gains had been made as well, wherein... you would actually be able to make money rather than lose money the way we were doing it in the 70s.
Plus we get to headline instead of open for other bands.
Yeah, you know, we're big stars, you know, we're sort of strutting around like we own the place.
I think we're probably about medium stars, really, you know.
Well, we don't have to know that.
But we get to headline, though.
We think we're big stars, yeah. You know. We act like we're big stars.
At least we don't have to, you know, open for those Texas metal bands anymore. They were scary.
Yeah, really.
That's a good thing.
Big, some of those
big
Texans,
guys.
You know?
They're big. Woo.
So touring is something you enjoy now?
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. You know, we really look forward to it. We have a great band. We have a fairly substantial and growing book of songs to choose from, so we don't get tired of playing the same things over and over again. Even some of our oldest songs, there's enough to them that's of interest to us that we can, do new versions of them or rewrites of them or harmonic revampings so that you have the advantage of playing something that the audience is familiar with and yet it's sort of fresh at the same time. So we've had a great time.
That's great. I know I grew up listening to your music, and I was always heartbroken throughout high school because it was Steely Dan doesn't tour. They're a studio band. They're not going to tour.
I had a tough time in high school, too. I had to take the subway, first of all. And essentially I had to go through three boroughs.
Oh, no.
To get, you know, I had to start.
Did you go
Queens.
To one of those special schools?
I went to Brooklyn, through Brooklyn, you know, without stopping in Brooklyn, and then ended up in Manhattan.
You think that's bad? I had to ride three boroughs. It was such, it's deep in the farmland of New Jersey, and it was like once you get up the mule, you had a swing on a vine.
Well, seeing you've come through all that, and you're on the road and making former kids happy because we're all thrilled to see Steely Dan
glad to be of service.
Yeah, anytime.
We like it.
It's been a pleasure. The new
album
is called Two Against Nature. Walter Becker, Donald Fagen, Steely Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you, Nicole.
You too.